This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number two, I'm Kyle Madsen, that's James Hamm. Jiffy Lube sponsors the program, and we're going to skip all the usual hour number two stuff because we got royalty in the house. Mark Jones is joining us now as we look ahead to the Sacramento Kings season opener tomorrow night at Golden 1 Center against the Minnesota Timberwolves. Mark, how we doing, man?
Outstanding. I can't wait until they throw the ball up in the air tomorrow and we run one for real. Preseason is preseason, man. It's really time to cook right now.
I gotta say real quick, you seem like the kind of guy that just doesn't have bad days. Like, your vibe is always A1.
Yeah, I appreciate that, man. You know what? It's about staying in the moment and being able to really dive into where you are, be where your feet are. And I look forward to my feet getting on the plane and being at Golden 1 Center tomorrow. And it's going to be fun. I'll be on practice tomorrow morning in my happy place, speaking to the coaches, speaking to the players, having some great anecdotes and strategies to talk about on the broadcast. Got a whole bunch of catching up to do with the fans tomorrow, too, you know?
Mark, are you going to check and make sure that the ball is broken in before it's used at the game? Because, I think it's definitely a question that needs to be answered.
Yeah. You know, I heard that comment yesterday from the Laker game, and I'm thinking, okay, I can understand the guys that handle it a lot having an issue, but I mean, after a while, you just adjust. You know, it's better to have a ball that bounces a little bit sideways because it's not broken in versus hitting dead spots on the floor and not knowing where dead spots are. So, you know, I don't get that. But I'll make sure that, you know, Courtney Kirkland, whoever is officiating the game tomorrow, Ed Malloy, make sure to give De'Aaron a ball that is perfect tomorrow.
There we go.
I'll be on duty making sure that happens.
Talking with television voice of the Kings, Mark Jones. And if you turn on ESPN at some point, you're probably also going to hear Mark Jones. Where are you at right now?
I'm in South Florida, and I'm jumping on a plane in about 2 hours. I'll be at DoCo late tonight.
Outstanding.
Ready for the game tomorrow. Be at practice tomorrow morning, and start of a busy weekend. Looking forward to the game, and then I'll be doing Thursday's game and Monday's game as well. So it's going to be fun.
What if you could pick out one thing that you're looking forward to with this year's Kings? What is it?
I want to see. Okay, like, I never believed in. Okay, I think they're going to win like 48 to 50 games. I think they're a top six team. I'll start there.
Yep.
I want to see what impact everything has, you know, the hierarchy offensively, especially what impact it has on Keegan Murray. I never believed in trickle-down economics. I think it's a joke, but I think trickle-down offense works. I think when you add a big piece like DeMar DeRozan, who's going to give you 23, 20, it's a bonus with his double-doubles, triple-doubles, And Keegan Murray, I think, is set up to make a quantum leap this year because he's going to get the fourth best defender, right? Here's the trickle-down part. He's going to get the fourth best defender, not the third best defender anymore, or even the second. And I think we'll see Keegan shooting the ball at a rate where we saw him shoot his rookie year, especially with respect to open three-pointers.
All right, Mark, we're it's kind of an interesting thing that's happening here over the last 24 hours where Mike basically broke it down and said, hey, look, if Kevin Huerter is healthy, Huerter will start at the shooting guard spot, and I think it caught me off guard. It caught everybody else off guard. Where are you at with this? Because I thought Keon Ellis was exceptional on the defensive end at the end of the season. I thought he changed everything for them defensively at some point. But I also understand that Kevin Huerter has a tremendous amount of value as an offensive weapon.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting to see. To throw Kevin in there cold on starting night, I'd be a little bit surprised. But I don't think that Mike would put him out there if he didn't feel that he'd be able to make an immediate contribution and be him right away. You know, Keon has done an exceptional job. And frankly, when you look at Keon's three-point shooting numbers, they're pretty impressive too. So they don't lose anything there, I think. They gain something at the defensive end with Keon, with his ability of point of attack defense. So I think in the end, guys, Kyle James, it adds up to the Kings having more depth. I don't think there's any kind of net loss there. I think it's a net gain when you add it all up.
Talking with Mark Jones, television voice of the Sacramento Kings. Does their three-point defense concern you? Like, I'm less concerned about the shooting because I think Kevin Huerter will be better this year. I think you already mentioned Keegan Murray. I think he's going to creep up back toward the, what was he, 41%?
As a rookie.
As a rookie. I think he's going to creep back up toward that number. But defensively is where I'm a little bit concerned. They obviously struggled on the perimeter last season. That's where I think they might struggle again this year because I don't know if DeMar DeRozan's going to have a meaningful impact in that area.
Yeah, 30th, right, in three-point defense, percentage defense, or 29th.
Yeah.
Same thing. Yeah, you know what? That's just like one component of overall defense, so it doesn't worry me that much. I think when you look at the real precipitous rise that we made defensively last year from 2 years ago being, what, 24th to 13th, 14th last year, I don't think that it's fair to just parse one variable in the overall defensive rating. We'd all love for it to be better than 30th, right? Defending three ball.
Yeah.
But I think when you package it all together, it's not as worrisome. I'd rather have a 13th or 14th defensive rated team overall and be 30th in three-point defensive defense than have, you know, a top 10 three-point defense and be 25th or 26th.
Sure.
So, yeah. Yeah, it's I think it adds up to maybe being able to suppress mid-range and points of the paint as well, too.
You know, Mark, you've been around the league for a long time, and you've had plenty of time to meet and discuss things with DeMar DeRozan and kind of get a feel for who he is. What do you think he brings, not just as a basketball player, you know, at the age of like 35, he's still got a lot left in the tank, but
right.
But maybe the overall package that is DeMar, the writer, the veteran, the leader behind the scenes?
Yeah, he brings a certain amount of you know, experience, playoff experience that nobody else on the team has. Championship, you know, played in Eastern Conference Finals with the Raptors several times. And a certain equanimity, a calm that I don't think that you get unless you've been there. And, you know, De'Aaron, his leadership voice is still growing, and that's a great thing. And Sabonis has a leadership voice on that team too, but I think what DeMar brings is somebody who you look at across the way, and whether he's saying it or doing it, it's going to be extremely impactful. And DeMar has a certain toughness about him that doesn't always show up when you're just watching the game. Certain competitiveness that that his teammates see and feel, and I think we're going to be able to watch that this year. And that's one thing that really excites me about this Kings team, and him being able to be another clutch fourth quarter scorer is huge for this team. You know, in those moments where you have to stop the clock, get a bucket, get to the free throw line, nobody does it as well as he does.
You talked about the Kings being a playoff team this year. You think they're in that 48 to 50 win range. I think one of the reasons I feel more confident in them making the postseason as a top six team after last night watching Minnesota, because I was already mostly out on them with the Julius Randle acquisition. I didn't love that. I didn't love the fit, and nothing really happened last night to change my mind on that. Where do you sit with Minnesota and maybe the Lakers after watching them last night?
Yeah, Minnesota's an interesting study because they just made the deal and they didn't have much ramp-up time to assimilate to what they have in Julius Randle. I'll say this. You know, I've spoken with people with the Timberwolves, and it's going to be fun to watch that game and call that game on Thursday night. Julius Randle, Finchie will figure it out. Chris Finch is a marvelous offensive
really
coach.
Coach.
Alvin Gentry, our front office man now in Sacramento, was the head coach in New Orleans when Julius Randle was there. Finch was the offensive coordinator. He ran the offense. Julius Randle was a bucket there while he was there. So Finchie will ultimately figure it out with what he has to work with in Minnesota and Anthony Edwards and everybody else. And I think they'll be okay. They might not have the openness, but he'll be able to. I think he adds another creator as opposed to a floor spacer that Cat gives them. And, you know, Julius in his all-star year shot over 40% too. So let's not forget that. I think ultimately Minnesota's still a top three team. As for the Lakers last night, I noticed that J.J. Redick was very intentional about getting the ball to Anthony Davis. Yep. And it's no mistake that he put the numbers up that he did. And if that they get that kind of performance from AD. Listen, guys, it wasn't that long ago. I was in the bubble in 2020. I called the games in the bubble with Doris. And he was a monster. He was a behemoth in the paint.
Yep.
And, like, it wasn't that long ago he owned Joker, right? Now the tables have flipped a little bit. But there was a time when AD was that dude. He was the unstoppable guy. And I think JJ is really going to lean into that and be able to save some of the heavy lifting offensively with LeBron. So, you know, I think the Lakers are not a top six team. I think they're a top 18. But it was interesting to see the numbers that AD put up last night. And they have a shot of being, I think, in that 6 to 8 range.
All right, Mark, I know we can't keep you all day. You have to eventually get on a plane here, right?
Yeah, something
like that. But what are you expecting from the Kings early? Do you think that they're going to come out of the gate a little slow here? We saw, again, Mike talk about he doesn't really have his arms wrapped around this team yet. He doesn't really know what he has because of all the injuries, all the moving pieces, a couple of young players that are coming in. But like everybody else, the ball's going up in the air this week, and he's got to figure it out.
Yeah, that's it's a little bit daunting, but I think ultimately, you know, they've had a chance to put their eyes and arms around a lot of different scenarios. And, yeah, getting Kevin and getting Trey back, assimilating them back into the offense is going to be listen, they've got experience doing it, right? I mean, they've all been there before, so I don't think it'll be that rough a ride. We may start off a little bit slow as a result, but I think that ultimately, because the way we run our offense, because it's an equal opportunity, ball movement player type of offense, I think it's easier to get guys on a singular page faster than if our offense were a heavy dose of pick and roll and burying guys in corners and dishing to the strong side and that kind of stuff. So, hey, it may be a 500 start for the first 6, 8 games, 10 games maybe, but we can see it. We can see the market correction real quickly.
Yep. I'm right there with you. Mark Jones does a fabulous job broadcasting really everything, but specifically Sacramento Kings games. You can hear him tomorrow night at Golden One Center. Mark, cannot wait to hear you on the broadcast and to chat with you tomorrow.
It's going to be fun, guys. I'm going to be on a lot more games this year. That's my happy place. I'll see you there tomorrow.
Can't wait, Mark. Thank you so much.
Thanks,
He's ready
Mark.
To cook, and we're ready to watch him do it. That's Mark Jones. Kings, Timberwolves tomorrow, Golden One Center, regular season opener. Man, I can't wait. What a guy.
He's awesome, man. He's awesome. I can't. The hard work he puts in, how he's all over the country, all the time doing his stuff is just
one of those guys that makes me feel cooler just talking to him.
Oh, all the time. Yeah,
like I'm lame, like for sure. I feel like I gain a couple points though. Just chatting with Mark.
If you want to be like the coolest of the cool, you go down to the court. You wait till Mark Jones and Alvin Gentry are somewhere near each other.
Okay.
And then you find a way to get in a conversation with both of them. Because you might be in a conversation with the two coolest dudes in the league.
Okay. That's my goal tomorrow.
Okay.
That's my, I'm not even watching warmups. I'm just watching the sidelines.
You're just watching to see if you can get
just
into
like,
this conversation.
Just like, hey, Alvin, Al, could you come here for a second? I got Mark Jones over here. I just want to chat with you guys.
Yeah,
call him Al like we know each other.
There's no like Alvin Gentry is absolutely amazing, and like look, Mark Jones is such a breath of fresh air. And every time he comes, he gets to roll in for a game. I like that he said he's doing more games in Sacramento this year. I know last year it was his daughter's final year playing college basketball, mm-hmm. and he wanted to make sure he was there for as much as possible. And
yeah.
and then he has this other gig where he's all over the country. What do you say?
South Florida right now.
South Florida.
Yeah.
He'll be here tomorrow to call a game, and then he probably will be somewhere over the weekend because he's calling Monday's game, mm-hmm. but that probably means he's not calling Saturday's game. He probably has to call like two football games this weekend. It's absolutely amazing how hard he works and how educated he is.
And he's on all the time.
Yes.
That's the impressive part. Like there are days I come in, I do 2-hour radio show 5 days a week. There are days where I come in, I'm like, you know what? Don't got it today.
Yeah.
The energy is just not there. Like I'm gonna do my best, and I walk out, I'm like, Mark's just I have never watched a Mark Jones broadcast and been like, Mark didn't have it today.
Oh no.
Dude's
he
just ready
never,
to go.
Never cashes
ready to go
it
at
in.
All time.
Yeah.
Anyways. That Stephen A. Smith is like that too, by the way.
Always on?
Yes.
Yeah.
Had him on the radio one time. I think I've told the story before, but I call him up. Hey, Stephen A., it's Kyle with 95.7. You still got a few minutes for us? He's like, yeah, man, how's it going? Yeah, I still got it. Gets on air, switch,
flipped. Boom.
And he's Stephen A. Smith. Like, man. pros, man.
Yeah.
We were talking a little bit last segment about Kevin Huerter being in the starting lineup. So you also mentioned in that Trey Lyles is very close to returning.
It sounds like, I mean, again, Trey was at practice yesterday. He was actually cleared for contact.
Yeah.
He was running up and down playing 5-on-5. And then the word is like, he's very close.
My question to you is, should he start over DeMar DeRozan?
Absolutely not, Kyle.
No, we saw this thing online. It was a Kevin O'Constantinople's podcast.
Yeah. And I don't even know who he was with.
Whoever was on his podcast threw out the idea that maybe Trey Lyles should start over DeMar DeRozan. And when I hear something like this, my brain wants to take it and go, okay, where are they coming from on this?
Mm-hmm.
Am I missing something? Because that off the rip sounds ridiculous. But I always try to like break it down. And we did this before the show. Okay, well, let's take that and let's dissect it and see if there's a way this makes sense. It doesn't.
We
tried. We really tried. If at some point there's no scenario where the Kings should be taking DeMar DeRozan out of the starting lineup, I don't see a way that that's going to be a thing.
Yeah.
I do think though the Trey Lyles aspect of this is interesting.
No, I agree.
And it wouldn't shock me as we talk about Kevin Huerter and his shooting but he can't play defense and Keon Ellis, okay, better defender, but you know, where does he fit offensively? Can he find a fit offensively? It would not shock me at some point if the Kings realize they need maybe more size in their starting lineup. If they decided that Trey Lyles needed to be a starter, like the obvious move, right, is Trey Lyles into the four. you move Keegan to the three, DeMar to the two, and then it's Keon and Kevin Huerter off the bench. Like, that's the way that would need to go.
Yeah. That's how you would...
But I also don't think the Trey Lyles in the starting lineup is an answer.
No, there are four starters on this team, guaranteed. De'Aaron Fox,
yes.
Domantas Sabonis,
yes.
Keegan Murray, and DeMar DeRozan.
Etch it in stone.
The other starter could change.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably going to be Kevin Huerter in the opener, and if not, it might be Keon Ellis. But at some point during the season, it could be, again, mm-hmm. You're going up against a team that has Rudy Gobert and Julius Randle on the front line. It might make sense to start a guy like Trey Lyles, a healthy Trey Lyles, mm-hmm. against Julius Randle.
Yes.
It could make sense.
Yeah.
And so maybe you do make that move.
Yeah.
But not today.
Also, starting him over DeMar DeRozan is just such a big-brained, like, I need to say something about this team.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
So I'm going to go where no one else is going.
It
what
does,
if they didn't start? Like, man, what?
It does feel like that.
What
like,
are you talking about?
This is silly. We have to react, and we have to bash the Kings, and we have to put them in this weird bubble. Well, they made such a huge mistake by signing DeMar DeRozan.
Yeah,
and it's like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, man. If it, like I said, there's such a... It's frustrating because, again, it take what national people say about the Kings specifically with like a lick of salt and a shot of tequila, right? Like that's mm-hmm. that's kind of how you have to go about this because they're not dialed. They're going to look at numbers and they're going to pour through advanced stats and they might watch a couple of clips on Synergy or whatever, but they're not tapped in the way you are, the way I am, the way the Chatty House is. Like it's just that's not it. And so they're looking, and I think it's what you just said, that like, oh, DeMar DeRozan's 36, he's just not gonna be that dude anymore. 35, he's just not gonna be that dude anymore. So he should come off the bench and they should start. They need more size, so Trey Lyles should start. I don't hate the Trey Lyles idea. The DeMar DeRozan thing is just wild. That's off base.
Well, yeah.
Out of line.
Well, that and Trey Lyles hasn't played all offseason. And I mean, he's had a groin pull for like mm-hmm. the last 6 or 7 weeks. Like he has, and we say they haven't played. So everyone should know, like Kevin Huerter and Trey Lyles have been there every day at practice. They've been going through like the drills. They understand the drills. They have no contact, right? And again, Trey Lyles has a groin pull, so he's not running around and doing any of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It was just scrimmaging that they're not doing. So it's not like they're coming in and they're dumb and they don't know, oh no, I have to learn the offense today. No.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll even tell you, like, Kevin Huerter got done doing yesterday. We saw him get done doing the scrimmage. We didn't get to see any of the
five
scrimmage.
On five?
Yeah, they did 5-on-5. But and Trey Lyles participated as well, 5-on-5 mm-hmm. scrimmage. After the scrimmage, Kevin Huerter was sitting on the sidelines and bookended by Jay Triano and Luke Laux. Like, they're going over offensive schemes, defensive schemes, what he may have done right, what mm-hmm. he may have done wrong. And I know this sounds totally crazy. Like, Keon Ellis is an incredible on-ball defender. And he fights through screens like crazy. Mm-hmm. He, like, for me, like, one of those guys that has a potential to totally impact a game without scoring a single bucket, right?
He's the guy that before he started playing regularly for the Kings, we would watch on other teams and go, man, they need a guy like that.
They need a Herb Jones.
Yes.
You got one. He's one of those, right?
Herb Jones is the pinnacle of that.
And, you know, they're like college teammates.
Yes.
Okay, so, but that doesn't change the fact that Kevin Huerter, before he got to Sacramento, was a very solid defender. He's the guy who had to defend everybody because he played alongside Trae Young
mm-hmm.
in Atlanta. Not only that, but Kevin Huerter has like 6 years of NBA experience of reading different defenses, of doing. Mm-hmm. He's also 6'7". He's not a bad rebounder. He's an exceptional passer.
Mm-hmm.
Like there are things that people get so angry and like, oh, he's missing his 3-point shot, that they just ignore the other things that Kevin Huerter does on a court. And there is value to Kevin outside of just being a shooter.
Mm-hmm.
There's a ton of value outside of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, I've always, like, as the starter for 48 games, I thought he was really good. If you're going to get him stuck in man-to-man defense
mm-hmm.
against an elite point guard, he's going to get cooked.
Mm-hmm.
But so are half the other players in the league.
Sure.
It's just the way it goes.
I think it's less about that and more when he gets blown by Pat Connaughton.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of the bigger issue than if Tyrese Maxey breaks him down, you know?
Yeah, but I mean, TJ McConnell has come into Golden 1 Center multiple times and absolutely torched De'Aaron Fox.
TJ McConnell got paid.
He did. He did, but I mean, that's the point is, like, there are certain players that are bad matchups. Mm-hmm. There are certain things that mm-hmm. you can't ask a player to do. And then there are other things that a team is going to do to try to isolate that player and mm-hmm. force them to do the things you don't want them to do.
Right, right.
That happens. That's why the NBA is more like chess than it is checkers.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. All right, the starting lineup stuff I don't think is going away. I don't imagine that we're going to be sitting here in January and they're going to have had the same starting two. I think this conversation is going to stick around. All right. Speaking of sticking around, Mad Props is going to stick around. Jesse Tapia is going to jump in with us. We've got Mad Props. And then I want to play a fun game with the NBA slate tonight. We got a ton of NBA games. We're going to talk about the watchability of each one.
Mm.
I'm really excited to look ahead to those games with you guys. Jiffy Lube sponsors the program. We're the insiders. We're hanging out till noon. That's James. I'm Kyle. Jesse Tapia in with us next on ESPN 1320 and Sacramento Sports Center.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Kyle Madsen here, James Hamm there, also joining us. Jesse Tapia is going to hang out with us until the end of the show, and then he's going to go produce D'Lo and Casey.
It's going to be a fun day.
I'm just happy you showed up after ring night in Boston last night, where...
Oh, yeah, it was a good time.
Boston just dominated. I thought maybe you were going to kick your feet up and take the rest of the week off.
Oh, I got to watch in the KUDL studio. I was giving away Disneyland tickets. I was having a good time yesterday watching it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Love that for you, man. Sounds like a great time.
Nice.
Yeah, we're out here just...
A lot of W's for you working, yesterday.
Yeah. It's good times all around.
How badly did you want him to hit the 30th three-pointer?
I didn't care, to be honest. I thought it was just funny that we're just taking threes against the Knicks and, like, This honestly disrespecting the Knicks, which I thought was hilarious.
The thing that bothered me about that, we'll get to Mad Props in a second. The thing that bothered me about that was the Knicks seemed super content to just let him chuck away.
Yeah, it was honestly kind of embarrassing.
It was so embarrassing.
Like, the Celtics were just like, hey, we're just going to take threes the last 8 minutes of the game, whatever, haha.
How are you not a player on the end of the Knicks bench who's now been, the Knicks don't have a lot of dudes.
Yeah.
There's a chance, we saw this with Keon Ellis last year. Kelly Ellis started getting rotation minutes because of how he played in those, like, 3 minutes of garbage time in a blowout. Hey, he played his ass off. He did all the right stuff. Like, oh, okay, hey, give him a couple minutes of real time and see how that goes. Like, that's the fact that so many of those guys seemed super content to just not play defense.
Yeah.
That was a tough look.
To me, it was just funny.
That was a bad
especially
look.
Especially if your coach is Tibbs. Like, the way to get on the court is play defense with him. And if you're just going to go out there and not give the effort, yeah, not a great look.
Also,
yeah.
Sam Hauser, can you make a shot?
Yeah.
Yeah, Sam, on. That's kind of what we pay you to do.
Peyton Pritchard, same thing.
64.3% the starter shot from three.
Yeah, it was nice.
The bench was 3 for 20.
That's the Celtics thing.
26 for 41.
The Celtics thing, too, is just we're going to get probably about 50, 60 threes up today. Hopefully half of them going. If not, we'll still hit a decent clip.
The whining about the offense was just the worst thing after the game.
I think I saw
a tweet. Is this what the game has become? Yeah, man.
I think I saw a tweet like, yeah, we do 3 seconds in the key, maybe do 3 seconds in the corner by the three-point line. What the hell are you talking about?
Big thumbs down. That's a giant thumbs down.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways, let's get to mad props. The 49ers game this weekend plus the two NBA opening games last night. We take two props. We match them up. We pick which number is going to be higher. And good week for all of us this week. Here we go. Here we go.
It's time for mad props. Two games, two props. Which number will be higher?
Yeah.
That's for Kyle and James to decide. Here's mad props.
All right, good week for all of us. I finally had a good week after two terrible weeks. Number one, we'll dive right in because I got a bunch of other stuff I want to get to here in the final segment. Brock Purdy passing yards or Lakers Wolves total points. It was a close one, boys. James and I went with Brock Purdy passing yards. Jesse, you went with total points in that Lakers-Wolves game. 212 passing yards for Brock Purdy. 213 total points in the Lakers-Timberwolves game last night.
Went out on a limb. We got a dub on that
That's a hell of a mad prop right there.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. I love when they work out that way. The rest of them didn't work out quite the same way. Patrick Mahomes passing attempts or Jason Tatum points. James, you went Mahomes passing attempts. Jesse and I foresaw the Jason Tatum revenge tour coming. He dropped in 37 points, just 27 passing attempts for Patrick Mahomes. So we get the W on that one. Jordan Mason rushing attempts or LeBron James field goal attempts was number three. We all went LeBron.
LeBron James.
16 field goal attempts for LeBron James, 14 rushing attempts for Jordan Mason. Just snuck it out.
Here we go. Good job, guys.
I was a little bit concerned for that one when the Lakers kind of started pulling away there. Would they get up like 17? They were up a bunch at one point in the second quarter, and I was very concerned that we were going to see a LeBron takes the night off and finishes with 12 field goal attempts. But nevertheless, 16, and we got a W. Good job, gang. We all went NBA on this next one, too. Celtics-Knicks combined first quarter total or 49ers-Chiefs total points. The Celtics almost outscored the 49ers and Chiefs by themselves in the first quarter.
Look at my guys holding it down.
43 first quarter points for the Celtics, 67 total, just 46 points in the Niners-Chiefs game. That's tough. I thought that we said 30.
Yeah, no, we were kind of like, oh, you hit 30 or whatever, it's been close, blah, blah, blah. It's like, yeah, just didn't even matter. Just needed one team to
be honest. Matter. Yeah. Celtics at one more three. They tied just by themselves.
Oh, that's not good.
Ridiculous. Brandon Ayuk targets or Jaylen Brown three-point attempts. You guys both went Brandon Ayuk, and you probably would have been right had he stayed healthy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because he had six targets before he got hurt at the end of the second quarter. He was going to be targeted a lot in that game. I went with Jaylen Brown three-point attempts. 9 three-point attempts for Jaylen Brown. 6 targets for Brandon Ayuk. That's a win for me.
Can me and James maybe get like half a win on that? Maybe a tie?
Maybe I don't think so.
Like we could hockey this a bit. It's an overtime loss, but we still get points.
Consulting, where we've made the call to Sakakis. That's enough. All right,
fine.
You know what? Had we been playing Prize Picks and been able to do a flex play,
it would have been
because
removed.
Prize Picks invented the flex play.
Oh, Prize Picks.
It actually didn't. Neither Debo nor Brandon Ayuk got the injury reboot because they didn't get ruled out till the second half.
Oh.
Which was good for me because I had less on both of them. Anyways, Fred Warner tackles. We don't talk about Prize Picks on this show. You can listen to D'Lo and KC for that. Fred Warner tackles or Anthony Davis rebounds. James, you went Anthony Davis rebounds. Jesse and I put our eggs in the Fred Warner basket. Pause.
I don't think I did. You did. Fine.
No, we both did.
Yeah, but phrasing.
Okay, very good. We both went with Fred Warner. James, you went with Anthony Davis. That was the right thing to do. 16 boards for Anthony Davis last night. Just 8 tackles for Fred Warner. I saw Anthony Davis had like 6 rebounds in the first quarter.
That was cooked pretty early on.
Uh-oh. So, James, you went 3-3 this week. That moves you to 26-13 overall this season. Jesse and I both went 4-2. I'm now a game over 500 at 20-19-3. Jesse, you are 19-10-1. The NBA won all of those mad props. I got to be better.
Got to say, I think it just means the NBA's back, guys.
The NBA has never been more back. And we actually have a full slate of games tonight. Okay. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. We got 10 games tonight. All right. What I want to do is I'm going to go through these games, and we're going to give them a watchability score. Are you putting this game on your big screen? Are you going to second screen that game? Are you going to check highlights out? Like, yeah, I'll catch the like 9-minute YouTube highlights. Or are you just checking the box score? Like, I'll just look and see the score after the game.
I got you. I like this.
All right. First one, Warriors at Portland Trail Blazers.
That feels like a second screen type game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, Steph, you always got to put Steph on one of the big screens.
Okay. Yeah, that's so fair.
Steph's always a draw for me.
I don't know. I think I'm going to watch the highlights because it's just going to be Steph hitting 6 threes. Mm. And that way I don't have to watch all the other, because I don't think Portland's very good.
For obvious reasons, I'm big screening that one.
I get it.
All right. Pacers at Pistons.
Yeah, check the ESPN box score.
I'm checking box
morning.
Scores
yeah.
here.
Yeah, that's a box score game.
This is a box score game that, you know, I'm high on the Pistons this year.
What is
that? I like
that
the Pistons more than 26.5 wins.
He thinks they might win 27.
Yeah, I think they might get to. I think they might push 31. 30 wins.
Big season for the Pistons.
No, that's a box score game for me.
Oh,
the Pistons, until further notice, the Pistons are always going to be a box score team, I think.
Yeah.
Well, that and the Pistons did something interesting this offseason. They went out and they signed a couple of guys that, you know, that the only reason they signed them is so they could trade them at the deadline.
Yeah.
Like Tobias Harris. You're like, yeah.
Didn't they give him like a bag, though?
Yeah, but they did the same thing to Bojan Bogdanovic. And they just kept waiting and waiting, and then finally someone gave him a first-round pick for him. I think that's what we're going to see here. Maybe I'm crazy.
Bag after bag after bag for a while now.
He's made so much money.
Yes. It's like you never made even sniffed an all-star team. It's not like CJ McCollum where it's like, oh, he's close. Maybe he should have. Tobias Harris is like, nah, don't even worry.
He's a theory guy.
Him and Harrison Barnes are.
The thought of Tobias Harris has always been better than Tobias Harris.
That's facts.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Brooklyn at Atlanta.
I work in the Sacramento media market. I don't even care.
I may not care less about a game than that one.
I'm gonna
the rest
check,
of the year.
Did Cam Thomas go for 40? No. Okay, keep him moving.
I may not even look at the box score.
I might want to see what Reese Hachette does just to see.
Okay.
And then, you know, always check in on Bogey.
So you're going highlights?
No.
Is that a highlight game?
No.
Just a box
score.
Just a box score game. Yeah.
James, like, don't go too far.
I just like Brooklyn might be really bad. Does Brooklyn have anything endearing outside of Jordy Fernandez?
It's just Jordy Fernandez. I guess Ben Simmons, if you're into that.
We're
sort
not
of
here
thing.
For
I'm
the
not. I'm
Ben
not in,
Simmons.
No.
Yeah.
If this was the first time, you got me. Second time, you got me. Third time, even. Maybe you got me. Seventh time, I'm out.
Yeah.
I'm out on the Ben Simmons thing. I may not even check the box score.
I would
if something crazy,
you.
if one of these teams scores 140, maybe I'll tap in and see did someone do something ridiculous. But I'm not even checking the box score there.
All right.
Orlando at Miami is kind of interesting.
Oh, I'm in.
I'm second screening this one.
This is big screen.
You're big screening this one.
Yeah, because Paolo, I think everyone's kind of waiting on Paolo this year, see if he's going to break out, have that year, like as a superstar and all that. And I like the Heat. They got to stay healthy, but I like the players they got there. They're going to be a good team.
I might big screen this one too.
Yeah, I'm looking at the other games, and this might be the big screen game of the night. There's a couple other games.
I'm playing this as though like you can.
We have multiple TVs in our house.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're Kenny. We live at Kenny's house. We have about
we're
a million
in the compound.
TVs. Yeah. We're good.
Yeah. So you can big screen multiple games.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's just the quality of the game that we're talking about. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I think I explained that poorly. Yeah. I guess. I'm just kind of, I don't have that much fun watching Miami play basketball, which is why I think I dropped him to a second screen initially.
Miami?
Mm-hmm.
I'm a big Eric Spoelstra guy, which is weird because he's a head coach, but Eric Spoelstra,
no,
you throw out 12 guys out there, it's like, this team somehow is going
to
work.
Yeah, but that's fine. I just don't find them that aesthetically pleasing to watch.
No, I agree, but I'm kind of here to see what Jaime Jaquez looks like in year two, year three.
Yeah. So I second screen it.
All right.
I feel good about a second screen on that one. I am high on Orlando, though. I think Orlando's going to be really good.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
You have them top four?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I think I did yesterday.
Yeah, or we both have them at five.
Oh, maybe we did.
Yeah.
I think they're still like.
Oh, yeah, I had Indiana at four.
And I had Milwaukee at four.
Yeah, that's right.
I think
right,
they're still playing, maybe sixth. One more year for Orlando, I think, and then.
Okay. I think Paolo's going to take a huge leap at some point, and I think it's going to be this year. I guess, and he's just going to kind of be a monster. Milwaukee at Philly.
I will check highlights for this one. No Joel Embiid, no Paul George.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's highlights.
Yeah. It's highlights.
It's highlights because Maxi and Giannis and Dame. And all that, but I just don't need to have it on.
Yeah.
I don't. Yeah. No, if Embiid and Paul George were playing, this is a big screen for me.
Honestly, if one of those two were playing, I'd still big screen it.
It's a good point.
I think it's interesting, too. Like you mentioned Spoelstra. I'm kind of excited to see Dave Yeager assistant coaching against Bobby Jackson and Brian Gates assistant coaching for Philadelphia.
That's a deep cut.
Little Kings connection right there.
I love the idea.
Maybe big screen now.
I love the idea of going to a bar and being like, hey, can you get this Milwaukee and Philly game on? And somebody's like, we're in Sacramento. And James is like, oh, I know.
I know.
Have you seen the assistant coaches on this team?
Yeah. Amazing.
Next up. Cleveland at Toronto.
This is a box score game. Toronto's not carrying here. Cleveland's watchable, but Toronto's just not.
I might highlight this one.
Yeah, you know, Scotty Barnes is good.
Scotty Barnes?
Maybe it is highlights.
I might second screen this. I want to see where Davion's at, and I think the Cavs are a better team than, like, I think they're good. I don't think they're great, but I think they're good. And I don't know. I'm going to look
one.
Past the
Pick
fact.
It.
It's second screen.
Oh, there we go.
I didn't text you. I'm sorry, Kenny. You're good today.
Oh, this is awkward.
Appreciate you. I meant to text you. That's my fault. We're good. Kenny Caraway coming up in 10 minutes.
It's a complete crap.
It's kind of how I feel about Toronto.
Yeah.
And
remember Pascal Siakam?
And I'm down
and
on Cleveland.
That was cool.
Yeah, I just, I'm box scoring this one. Box score. Box score for me.
All right.
Yeah. And if there's something intriguing in the box score, maybe I'll adjust it to highlights. Box score with a chance of highlights.
I like Emmanuel Quickly. I like Scotty Barnes.
The Raptors got players. So if their players are just hitting that day, then like it'll be a good game.
Sure.
But
all right.
It's also the Raptors.
Charlotte at Houston?
No.
I'm second screening this.
Yes, give me the second screen on this one as well. I watch all the young teams with the young players developing and all that. Like
Houston might be must watch this year. You get LaMelo back, Brandon Miller in year two.
Charlotte's going to be healthy for this week at least, we know, so watch that while you can.
You might need to get your LaMelo ball games in now.
Come on, James.
This is
second screen season. Second screen.
Blowout. This is a blowout, and I'm going to check the box score because I want to see how they distribute minutes.
You can ask me and Jesse about the game.
Yeah, we'll tell you tomorrow.
We'll let you know.
That's right. I want to see how they distribute minutes. That's about it.
Yeah, man. I'm fascinated by Houston. They have so many players that could just take leaps. And we talked about this so much yesterday. I want to see. And maybe Charlotte doesn't suck. Like, we kind of left them out of the East yesterday. But when you look at the back end of the play-in, if you told me Charlotte was better than Toronto.
Chicago. Okay.
Brooklyn. Atlanta. I don't think any of that would shock me. They just got to stay healthy.
Yeah. Also, I don't want to watch Miles Bridges play basketball.
That's a good point.
I get that.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Speaking of Chicago, they are at New Orleans. This is a box score game for me.
This is one of those games where I kind of just pretend it's not even there.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just care so little about New Orleans right now.
I will check in on Lonzo Ball, but that's as far as it'll go.
Yeah, that's cool.
I might skim the box score, but that's it. Like, I'm not.
There's not even. I'm
taking a
past.
Deep dive in it.
Yeah. Not even.
I'll check the box score because I'm always open to being wrong, and maybe I'm wrong about New Orleans. Maybe they go in and they kick the hell out of Chicago, and DeJounte Murray looks great, and Brandon Ingram puts all the trade stuff behind him and looks great, and Zion looks like an MVP candidate. Okay.
You're not here for Herb Jones versus Nikola Vucevic.
Yeah, no, Herb Jones starting at the five. It doesn't move me much.
Pelicans are going to take a step back this year.
I think so, too. I had him missing the play-in in our preseason predictions.
Missing the play-in?
Yeah.
I don't know if I go that far, but I'm kind of on that same path.
The vibes are bad with B.I. Mm-hmm. I don't foresee a great season from him. And then you tell me Zion Williamson plays 35 games?
Oof.
Like, I'm just... That's kind of where...
Yeah, I'm out.
If he plays a whole season, I hope he does. Like I said, I hope he proves me wrong. That'd be great. Getting a peak Zion would be awesome. But
we're still kind of waiting on him, too. He just hasn't broken through that glass ceiling.
Yeah.
Which is, I wonder if that just might be the case forever.
It might be. Last couple here. Memphis at Utah. How are we feeling about the Grizzlies?
Give me the highlights on that one. Yesterday we were playing more or less with the win totals and all that. I took more on the Grizzlies. I think they're going to be better than people are giving them credit for.
Okay.
I think I want to, this is weird. I want to second screen this game.
I'm there too.
Because I want to see what Zach Edey looks like, and I want to see what he looks like against Walker Kessler.
Mm-hmm.
And like that matchup right there is super intriguing to me. And then like, do the Grizzlies have anything? Do they still have mm-hmm. that edge to them mm-hmm. or, you know, are they just like going through the motions?
And is Utah going to be serious or is Utah looking at Cooper Flag?
I'm out on Utah till they make a move.
It's a good question. Are they going to, I don't know. That's intriguing. See, there's some intrigue to that game.
Yeah, that's, I don't think Utah is going to be good. I don't think they're going to threaten for a play-in spot. But it's just, are they going to try for that play-in spot? Or is it really obvious from day one that they're not?
Yeah. And Utah does have talent. And
Right. That's why I'm second screening this one. Because maybe that talent comes together. Maybe Keontae George takes this huge leap. And
he looked really good.
And Lauri Markkanen's there. And now that he's locked in, he's going to be better. And Walker Kessler takes a leap. And John Collins, you mentioned, looked bigger when they played the Kings.
Yeah, he looked phenomenal.
So maybe Utah's just going to be awesome.
Kind of here for the Brandon Clark versus John Collins matchup. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, that's kind of fun.
Yeah.
All right.
You guys might have talked me into a second screen here.
Yeah,
I was
nice,
not in
dude.
On Utah,
nice.
But yeah, well, second screen it.
All right, I love that for you. Last one, Phoenix at the Clippers.
This is a big screen.
Yeah, it's true big screen.
Yeah,
I think so too.
No Kawhi, but James Harden's always good for watch. And then you got KD, Book, and Beal.
I also think can Harden carry all of the scoring load? Can he be a 30-point mm-hmm. per game guy anymore?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he averaged like 16.6 last season.
He said during the offseason that he's still that guy. He just hasn't been the last couple of years because it's not what's been needed of him.
Oh, it has nothing to do with age or
fact
that he's not in great shape?
Yeah.
James Harden's 35 years old.
Yeah.
I don't know, James. Might be just be time.
You know, I remember I talked to...
We're going to find out tonight.
Yeah.
Bogdan Bogdanovic told me that James Harden is the most difficult dude to defend in the league because he's sitting there and he's just dribbling and you're watching him dribble and he kind of lulls you to sleep. He will just lean a little bit one way and the second he sees you go to make an adjustment, he explodes at that second while you're going one way, he goes the other way and he's past you and you're like, he's not fast. He's not even particularly quick.
I'm sorry, who is this?
James Harden said.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, Bogdan Bogdanovic said this about James Harden. He said he keeps you off balance the whole time. And so you think you've got him and you're okay, and then he's past you. And then as soon as you try to recover, bumps into you, gets a foul, throws it up, hits a shot, and you're just like, I can't believe that just happened to me.
He's also a lot bigger than he looks on television.
Yeah.
He's a legit like 6'7".
He's such a weird player.
He's a big boy.
Because he's probably top five ever at his position, I think.
I don't know.
Top of my head.
Scorer for sure. I'm putting the ball in the hoop.
Definitely. Because all that he's missing is just the postseason success, I feel. Like he was always really good. And I feel like the little fall off we've seen
is just
normal.
So at the two, you've got MJ?
Yeah, it's MJ one. Yeah,
Kobe?
Two, Kobe. Dwayne Wade. Yeah.
There's some obvious ones we're missing.
All time at the two?
Yeah, all time.
I mean, there's a ton of guys from the 60s,
right.
70s.
Right.
I mean, you get your Clyde Drexlers. You got.
I'll take like, James over Clyde.
Yeah.
Yeah, I probably. Yeah.
No, I agree. Yeah.
I'm just trying to think of obvious ones from like recent eras.
Yeah, I'd have to see not, like a deeper dive into it. I mean, statistically speaking, for sure.
Yeah, his
I mean,
stats are just insane.
He's won an MVP. He's been in the top three in MVP like four or five other seasons.
His best chance was that year. It's CP3 messed up his hammy against the Warriors.
Yeah, they were going to win that series.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd also like look. I want to know where he sits all-time assists, where he sits all-time scoring. Like, he's way up there all-time.
Yeah, man. There haven't been that many better offensive players than him at his peak.
Yeah.
He was really, really good. And the volume was insane.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, I'm looking, it looked like I missed a break, but we didn't. We're good.
I was like, are we all set right now?
We're all set. No, we're all set. We're good to go. Jesse Tapia produces D'Lo and KC. D'Lo and KC are coming up next. Kings season opener tomorrow. We're going to be breaking that all down tomorrow. He's James. I'm Kyle. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. And what do you guys got? I'm sorry. I meant to ask you what you guys got coming up.
Oh, we're going to talk, obviously, about yesterday's games. We got some Kings, obviously, tomorrow. I'll talk about the Timberwolves, that matchup, and just regular stuff. We got Wednesday. We got James at 3.
Great.
It's all vibes.
Just can't wait.
Purely basketball, bro. Basketball's back. You know how it is on D'Lo and KC.
There we go.
Basketball's never been more back. Yeah. That's Jesse. He's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insiders, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. Until tomorrow at 10 a.m., drink water. Be nice, people. Bye.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.